I worship you.
Someone say here a while back, you shouldn't allow your worry to be louder than your worship. Do you believe that today? That your worship should be louder than your worry? Folks, there ain't a one of us in here today that you don't have something on your mind that the enemy is using right now to hinder you from worshiping. Folks, that's when you give a sacrificial praise. That's when you give a sacrifice of praise. When the enemy is telling you you've got everything in the world to not stand up and praise the Lord for. Folks, you do have. You do have. If you're in here today and you're a child of God, you have every reason and every purpose to stand up and to worship Jesus. Amen? And there's a song that I'm going to sing right now. It's entitled Praise the Lord. And it talks about this very thing. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear, but praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. You know our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And you will find the chains that bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we're all paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle it must be won. You know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. You know our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And you will find the chains that bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Everybody sing. Praise the Lord. He can work. And you will find the chains that bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. When you praise Him.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. All the wrong turns that you were going on to, if you could, who could work it all for your good? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way, rises up about me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way when there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free, and the good
morning. Did everybody hear me? Praise the Lord. Before I get started, the Lord had me do something different this morning. Just want to speak over Pastor Frankie and Miss Lori. I felt like in prayer this week, the Lord wanted me to affirm where God has you. And he says, the things that the locusts have eaten, he's going to restore in your life. And there's prayers in your life that only you and God know. And I don't know those details, but the Lord said to affirm them and to honor them. And so I just honor y'all this morning. So many years ago, you spoke into my life in such a real way, and things that people will never know. And I want you to understand just how much I honor you, and I love you, and I thank you so much for who you are in Jesus. Amen. All right, well. Started off nice and light and fun and okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, let's get the skinny jeans out. Let's not do all that. What'd I say? Where am I going? Okay. Let's pray together. That was like a Holy Spirit pep rally I felt like we just had in worship. That was awesome. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your work, and I thank you, Lord, that you've given us a purpose. Lord, that you didn't call us into your family to not be used. But God, you bought us for a purpose and a plan. And Lord, that you partnered with us for your kingdom work. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that we weren't purchased before the foundations of the world to sit down in pews and to wait for your coming. But Lord, you called us into your purpose and into your plan and into the perfect will of God. And I pray, Lord, that this message would go forth, Lord, from this place. Lord, let it be duplicated, copied, disciples made, Lord, and repeated throughout this week in your name. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be built up, to come together and be built up in the most holy faith so that we can use the things that we grow together in to live life that looks like you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. And I thank you, Lord, that this message is living and active because it comes from your word. Lord, that every word that I speak, let it be from your heart and from your will. And Lord, anything that is not of you that comes from me, let it be sealed and shut up in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your will and your work in our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We have to understand that there's a why behind our life. What is the why behind our life? What is the purpose? That we were given a purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen? I want you to go with me, if you would. We're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. I must live ever conscious that Christ not only came to save me, but bought me into sonship, so that his purpose could be lived out through me. Jesus doesn't want spiritual robots. He wants us to be sons and daughters. It's impossible that sons and daughters don't look like their parents. The life they live resembles their parents. The lifestyle they have resembles their parents. Even if a child has been adopted, it will bring on traits that looks like its parents. Why? Because they live out and they act just like their father and their mother. And so we have to have a purpose, and we have to know our purpose behind our life. I'll say this, that before I get into this message with purpose, I think Miss Penny is wanting me to release for Kids Church. I'm so sorry. Any kiddos, Kids Church, please sign in, sign out if you haven't done so already. I'm so sorry. I didn't see anybody moving. Okay, we got a bunch. That's awesome. Sweet. Thank you, Miss Penny. Okay. That the purpose behind our life is that children, and that we, as sons and daughters, look like our parents, like our father. And so we have to have a purpose. Let's live conscious of that effort. If we don't understand our purpose, this message probably isn't for you. If our heart is just to kind of sit and meadow until the day we take our last breath or till Jesus comes and we're just good with our life the way it is and we like how it is, this message is probably not for you. Because a kingdom disciple lives his life with purpose and intention. The details of your life can affect the lifestyle and the destiny of your children and your future generations. What will people say of me when I die? What will my children inherit from my spiritual walk? What will my children not inherit from my spiritual walk? That's all living a life of purpose. You see, we have to understand that the fear of the Lord is that he came for his bride. He came for his church, and he says that he's not coming back until it's without spot and without wrinkle. And until his bride is engaged into their purpose and in their calling in and on the earth, working in and on the earth. So in 1 Kings 5, I want to read to you 5:3-5. I want to read to you from a king who was reflecting on the purpose of his father. So we're reading about Solomon, but we're reading about Solomon and David. Amen? Two kings. It says, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which he fought against him on every side. Catch this, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet." It says, "But now the Lord, my God, has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I purpose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name.'" So it says in that verse 3, it says that he couldn't build the house, that David wanted to build the house of the Lord. Amen. David wanted to, how many of us know that David was a worshiper, right? He worshiped so hard, he praised so hard that he danced his clothes off before the Lord, right? So we think sometimes we get wild in here, but we haven't even scratched the surface of David's heart before the Lord, and it was pure and it was holy because we were created as sons and daughters. First and foremost, our purpose before all else was to glorify and magnify the meaning of his name, of who he is, and declare his glory onto the earth. And if that cannot be seen through us, we're not fulfilling our first purpose. It says that all of creation, in Romans 8, that all of creation groans to see the sons and the daughters revealed, the children of God revealed on the earth. Creation fell under the curse because man and woman lost their purpose. They lost their purpose in glorifying themselves. Frankie preached about it last week, where they took upon themselves their own nature and they worshiped themselves to where they lost the purpose to magnify the Lord. And so Solomon, he says, "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord because of the wars which he fought." It says, "Until the Lord put his foes, his enemies, under the soles of his feet." And I want to ask you this question: what wars are you fighting for your children's victory? I want you to think about that for a minute. What wars in my life am I dealing with or not dealing with that are affecting generations and generations of kingdom children? Because the things that I'm dealing with, my children watch and see my purpose in it. Will I overcome? Will I put enemies under my feet? You see, Jesus, it says that He won the war. He has the victory. We war from a place of victory in Christ Jesus, but it's our fight. We fight with Him in victory, not for victory. But that doesn't mean we don't fight. It's just that the ending has already happened, and it's already been done in God. It's already been established. But there's still work for us to do. There's still a partnership with God. We're called to co-labor with God. And so David got this covenant for the Lord, and the Lord said to David, this is what he said. He said, "You will have a king through your lineage forever. There will be a kingdom. I will establish my kingdom in you forever." And we know that that lineage, that David was part of the lineage of Jesus. And so his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom through Jesus. And so if David had not gone to war to establish the kingdom that God given, Solomon couldn't have built the temple. And I'm just saying this because I see the importance of laboring in our war affects our children's future. The wars that we fight, the things that we deal with, and how we deal with them, and whether we deal with them in our workplace, in our home life, emotionally, spiritually, physical things that we strive to work for. Am I treasuring up the things that God would have me treasure up? In Luke 12, 32, it says that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Your Father desires to give you a life built in the kingdom. The problem is that we live outside of the kingdom purpose, and we live outside of the kingdom mandate. And so our purpose is to accomplish His glory in my life, but so that it carries through generation and generation. Amen? Generation to generation, that His glory would be magnified, just as it was magnified in David's life, that God gave a covenant and He said, your son is going to build the temple for the Lord. So I read this verse and I find two kings and I find two purposes. But I find one interconnecting, networking from one generation to another. So my purpose is connected with the future generation. And your purpose in life is connected to your children's future and to the future of the younger generation. If we want to make disciples, if we want to live a life in God, and we want to reproduce the things that God's given us, in us, it's important to understand that everything God gives us is for another. Everything that God gives us is meant to be repeated. Everything can be duplicated. And how important it was for David to reproduce and to fight the wars that Solomon never had to fight. What if we went to battle for our children in government and in the agendas that are against our generations? What if we went to battle for them? What if we spoke up for them? If we wrote our representatives and we dealt with the things that we deal with in school boards, because we want the safety of our children and we want to establish them in God, but are we willing to go to war? You see, David understood that he wasn't just warring for his kingdom, he was warring for the future generation, for Solomon. Are you with me? Y'all following? We awake? Matthew 6, 19 and 20. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what treasures am I laying up for me and for my children? You see, it's possible that we lay up treasures on the earth and that we buy big houses and we buy big boats and we do all this stuff and we want to have these wonderful treasures. And then their spiritual walk, our children, are not implanted the Word of God. Therefore, their inheritance spiritually becomes... And they have great wealth with boats and inheritance of all kinds of things, but their spiritual walk and their purpose in the kingdom of God is lacking. Because we didn't step into our purpose in a spiritual and set up for them a spiritual inheritance. Again, I said this message isn't for everybody. But we can live by heavenly treasures on the earth. We can live with heavenly treasures on the earth. I love to see Josiah. It doesn't happen all the time. My four-year-old, I love to see him leading in prayer now. Where kids his age are sitting down at the table to eat their lunch and he says, oh, we need to pray. Now, we can belittle that and just say that's that cute. That's just sweet. But we have spiritual part to play and to demonstrate that as simple of a thing that is, it is the integrity of me and Ashley to live that life out of a communication that stays constantly connected to the Father and that He sees that. And that my children both see that. That I can store up for them a spiritual inheritance that this God that I speak to every morning and every night is real and wants to invade your life and give you a sense of purpose and a plan for your life that overcomes the things of the world. Amen? And I want a war for Him in prayer. I want a war for Him so that the enemies that were against me, just as the enemies that were against David weren't for Solomon, the enemies that I fought against in my life, he doesn't have to war with. Because he saw victory in it. And just to get real with you this morning, if we allow alcohol to be a part of our life and it continually rips apart our life and causes spiritual disconnect because it grieves the Spirit of God in such a way, then what am I teaching my children? What is the depth of my spiritual walk? That's just one example. Use a thousand different ones. But if I say I live a life of overcoming, but I still got this thing that I never overcame, then what kind of war am I teaching my son how to fight? Because if he's a God of victory and he never sees victory in my life, amen? So we see two callings. We see a king that was called to war, and we see a king that was called to build up a house of worship. And it's true that we worship in our warfare just as David did, but we're in a season in life that if we don't war for our next generation, there won't be any worship. I'm going to say that again. David knew how to worship, but he was called to war. And if we don't learn how to war for the next generation, there will be no place to worship. Solomon could enter into his calling with a place of peace. There's a Latin term. I taught the youth this. There's a Latin term civis pacem parabellum. And that Latin term means, if you want peace, prepare for war. So David's understanding was that, okay, I can't build the temple, but I can put God's enemies under my feet. And if there's giants in our life, if alcohol and sexual immorality and pornography and all the things that seem to eat up the lunch of the world today become a stumbling block for us, we're called to put those under our feet so that our children can walk in victory and see that the promises of God are actually real. That dad's not just up here preaching on Sunday one day and he lives another way the next. Because that don't work. 1 Corinthians 28:3. 1 Corinthians 28:3 says, "But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name because you have been a man of war and have bloodshed.'" And so David's physical war was both a physical one and a spiritual one. You see, it's kind of a catch-22. He shed blood, and God said, "I want you to destroy the giants. I want you to destroy the Philistines and the Amorites and go through the lists and all the otherites. And I want you to destroy those." And then God puts in his heart to build a temple, and God said, "You can't build it because you shed too much blood. But I'll honor you. And the thing that I put in your heart, your son will build." So it's kind of like Jesus. You see, Jesus came to the earth, lived a life as a man, as the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he put all enemies under his feet. It says, the scripture says that the enemy would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head. And so when Jesus, as a man, bore the sins that we seem to struggle with day by day on the cross, he put that enemy under his feet so that we could live a life in worship, and that we are not building a house of worship, but we have become the house of worship. That in the body of Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Proverbs 15:33 says that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And so Jesus lived a life of humility in perfect nature as the Son of God, so that when he would destroy the works of the devil through the cross and resurrect on the third day, that we can walk in newness of life. That's what the scripture says. In newness of life. It's not, "Well, I'm a sinner, but..." There's no but. If we don't know our person in Jesus, if we don't know our spiritual identity, we can never fulfill our purpose. So when we're called into sonship, we're called, that becomes our identity, and that we can live and walk just as Jesus did. Disciples, there's two definitions to a disciple. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you." Did he say, "Teaching them to obey most things"? Did he say, "Teach them to pray a prayer"? Did he say, "Teach them to pray a prayer and get baptized"? He said, "Teach them to obey and live a life in obedience to me and my word, so that when they see you, when they see your life lived out with purpose, they'll come and be adopted into the family because they'll want what you have, and it'll reproduce into them." So there's two definitions to a disciple. It's both a learner and a teacher. And it's where we actually get "make disciples" is actually in the Greek, where we get the word "multiply." And so if our life in Jesus is not being multiplied, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, if Jesus' nature is to reproduce sons and daughters, and I'm living a life in Jesus, then it must reproduce. We don't force it to reproduce, it happens. Jesus said a good tree bears good fruit. The tree doesn't force the fruit out. It just saturates itself in what it was created to do. It strengthens itself so that at one day, at the right time, it bears good fruit. Am I making sense? Second Timothy 4:5, it says, "But you be watchful in all things and endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry." Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. You have a purpose. You have a ministry. If you are in Jesus, you have a ministry. It doesn't have to be called a ministry. But ministry is just loving people in Jesus one way or another. So if you're a roofer, how does my ministry merge? How does my spiritual purpose merge with my physical work? How can those two merge? There's a life lived in that calling to see our purpose and our spiritual walk be fulfilled through the things physically that God gives us. Leonard Ravenhill, a preacher with clear conviction, once said, "I look at all the books in my office, and they will one day rise up, and will they one day rise up in judgment against me?" He's getting that from the book of James in chapter 3, where James says, "To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And see, sometimes we get caught up in the sins that we're trying not to do, and we forget about the things and the commandments of the Lord and the purpose for our next generation that he said, "Go and make disciples." And the disciples started out in Jerusalem, and where your Jerusalem is where your home is. And sometimes we forget about the things that he called us to do, thinking about all the things we shouldn't do. But the kingdom of God is not focused on, well, I can't do this, 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 or this. I can't smoke, drink, run around. I can't do any of this. The kingdom of God says that the kingdom of God, the gospel, is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and preach the gospel. So the gospel of the kingdom are commandments to do. And if we focus on our life in the will of God and on our purpose to teach, preach, and disciple and walk the kingdom out, we won't be so focused on what we can't do because we're fulfilling the purpose that God has in our life. Y'all with me? So he says, fulfill. To Timothy, fulfill your ministry. See, it's not what we know, but our purpose is putting the understanding and the knowledge we gain from God into action. I heard the phrase once, things are caught more than they're taught. Things are caught more than they're taught. My 4-year-old will catch more in learning by doing than he will in teaching through a list. So sometimes our ministry is when we just walk with the Lord closely and we have a heart of worship to the Lord that connects us in relationship with him in such a way that it fulfills our purpose because we'll just catch where the will of God is in our life for that season. Amen? Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29. "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified." You see, there's a list. that we were predestined before the foundations of the world to be what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. What's our purpose? Our purpose is to be conformed to His image. So it's not about a task list that we fulfill for the kingdom of God, but when we walk and we're conformed into the knowledge of His Son, we'll fulfill the list. Amen? When we understand who we are, we'll fulfill what we're called to do. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to be in and live in and through Him. Our purpose is to be in His presence and live from His presence. The first verse ahead of that, verse 28, it says, "And we know all things work together for the good, those who love God, to those who are called according to His what? According to His purpose." And His purpose is, next verse, that we be conformed to the image of His Son. If David had never fulfilled his purpose, Solomon would have never built the temple. If David had never went to war, Solomon would never have built the temple. Because we're connected. The Word says that we're one body in Christ and that we're all members. And so the reason why it's important that we need to know each other well is because there's members of the body that do things better than we can do them. And we live from a spirit of humility and understanding our need for one another in order to accomplish God's will and purpose in our life and in our generations. Amen? First Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." It's important that our next generation see that we are walking in His marvelous light. It's not a feeling we feel, it's a truth that we are. And anything in my life that doesn't look like His marvelous light in my life needs to be put under my feet. Amen? This is the language we speak, but it must be the action we live out. We have this language in the church that we're walking in victory, high and going higher, but from Monday through the week, is that what our life looks like in the midst of trials? Consider it all joy, brethren, James says, when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Is His purpose being lived out through my life for the next generation? How Jesus fulfilled His purpose is incredibly important. I'm going to get ready to finish, but Philippians 2:5-11. Philippians 2:5-11, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So how do we fulfill our purpose on the earth? Is to live in a humble way in which the mind which was in Jesus, I'm going to live out. I'm going to swallow the pill of humility and put myself lower for the next generation. That my ceiling becomes their floor. Amen? That they can build on the things in my life and that they can throw out the things that never profited me anything, could be done away with, so that their life is built with greater purpose. And it's done through humility. That we're not exalting our own little ministry. That we're not elevating our place in the kingdom beyond where Jesus put us. Because he says, if you'll just humble yourself and you'll walk in a spirit of humility and a bondservant just like I did, and if you'll just serve people, if you'll just love people into the kingdom, I'll exalt you, and I won't exalt you for yourself, I'll exalt you for me. So that people see you and they don't even see you anymore, they see Jesus. I promise you it's the best compliment you'll ever get. And I'm not boasting when I'm saying it, it's just when I hear people, I've had people come to me and say, I love that God's working in your heart, and I just see Jesus in your spirit. And I'm like, it's not me, it's Jesus. And it's nothing that I'm accomplishing in my own work. I'm not working to do it, but I'm laboring to be close to him. Right? Sometimes you go to the mall and you walk into these stores and they spray that stuff, the cologne and stuff, on all the clothes, right? And if you're there long enough, you may have not put it on yourself because it's, you know, like a lot of money, but you might have not bought it yourself. But if you're there long enough and if you hang around long enough, you'll smell like the store you were in. Kind of walk around. But it's the same way in the kingdom. When we put ourselves in humility and we live with Jesus, walk like Jesus, we'll look just like he looked. And it's not a haughty mindset. It's not a haughty way of thinking. It's actually humility in God. Everything in me that's not bearing fruit, prune away, take away. Every thought that I have that gets ill at just the smallest of thing, where I lose my temper at this or that, God, prune that away to where I look like you. There was never a time in Jesus' life where people came to him and he said, yeah, I'm just, not today, it's enough. I'm not, we're done with y'all, don't listen, I'm done with y'all. I just need a break. But he spent many, many, many hours alone with Jesus so that when he went into the multitudes, he could feed them by the thousands. And not just physical food, but spiritual. So my encouragement and my call this morning, if Wayne and the band will come and play, is if you have a calling on your life, and God's given you a purpose and a plan, but you've not stepped into it, I want you this morning, in whatever way, begin to ask God to fill you by the Spirit of God, because that's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live and work through your life, where you can accomplish his purpose. We'll never accomplish God's purpose in our life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual purpose and it's a spiritual empowerment. Amen. You stand with me. I'm going to pray. We're going to open the altars as they are always open. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the wars that we wage that our children won't have to war. Lord, that they can walk in a victory that you accomplish through us. Lord, we inherit. We ask you, God, to fill us to walk in the victory that you paid on the cross. That you predestined us, chose us, called us, justified us, glorified us, to seal us up to be children that look like their Father. And I pray, Lord, just as we open these altars, Lord, that you would just do your work within the body, whatever that is. Lord, if you're dealing with things, Lord, that you would move in calling and healing and strength and encouragement, and that we would be built up in the knowledge of you for the sake of a lost and dying world that desperately needs to know the sacrifice of your blood and your Son who rose again on the third day to walk in victory in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.